No, 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 no.
It's a dollar.
You know what that boy got?
It's a dollar.
Nobody really want fuego. Masayo will bring fire down worse than Waco. Why you some coffee and Lego? Your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Masayo ain't playing no wiggles. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies of favor. Event with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or better yet the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it, cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. For the one that's super dead. Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. Hey, for the one that's super dead.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I am Captain Yahshua, along with my usual.
Captain Afari, Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom, Mosai, Christ, Bless, Officer Amariah.
And we have a special guest today, all the way from Austin, Texas, the land of milk and honey. The famous Bishop Kanai. Hey.
Officer Mosai, I'm here. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming on and gracing us with your presence on the show. You know, I was going to try to get my applause, but I don't have, like, regular applause. I just have laughing applause. No, let me do it. the laugh before. I don't know. What's going on with that? We're trying to get the Facebook feed situated. We went live on the wrong page. Technical difficulties there, but it's all right. We'll be okay. He's all right, because it's linked to that. So all he has to do is make sure that he just does it from the native page, because that's where our base is.
Repeat the title again. The
Facebook, the Native Latin and Black History Show. Or at the Lost 144K on Facebook.
Okay.
At the Lost 144K on Facebook. So Native American, Latins, Blacks, at the Lost 144K. There we go. Oh, okay, man. We're getting the extra.
Yeah.
Getting that juice. Getting the Bishop Kanai juice.
Yeah, we're trying to. I don't know about that. But we definitely want to. Listen, everybody out there, happy Sabbath. It's great to be on with you guys. I enjoy the opportunity to spend with my Northern Kingdom brothers, and hopefully you can edify people out there, let them know who they are and what they need to do to repent.
Right.
So what you want to talk about today? Are we still waiting for them?
Yeah, well, we're going to have them get on, you know. I usually do a little small talk, talk about the day's events. So we here, normally, you know, we broadcast out of Phoenix, Arizona. You know, we have our base out there. And like I always say, this show is really designed and tailored to we do topics. Yeah, he had it on the Arizona, though, so we were just trying to flip it to the other one. We always try to do topics on the show where it's not necessarily geared towards repenting Israel, although all scripture is always edifying. But we try to cover topics where you can go ahead there if you have a family member or somebody that's on the fence and share these shows, and it addresses them where they're not just tuning into a class where somebody's like, I don't want to see, you know, we try to talk about topics that are affecting our people and how it's relevant and how the Bible is still relevant today and deal with it that way. You know, every now and then we will touch something. Last week we did baptism, right? That's always a stumbling block. Yeah, right? Dipping in water. That's always a stumbling block for our people. But this week we have there's a lot going on. We out here in the second largest market in the United States.
Absolutely.
In the form of Los Angeles, and we give all praises to the Most High in Christ. About a month ago, we were out here, and we did broadcast out here, and this was just, you know, what we call our soft opening. We are actually doing our grand opening here in Los IUIC of Los Angeles, giving all praise to the Most High. We finally have a school out here.
Yes.
And it's magnificent. It's, yes, it's a beautiful location. Lord's will, they're ready to receive, you know, the people that need this medicine, that need this word, and that are going to repent. So we out here doing the grand opening. And I said, hey, I got to take advantage, man. I got some sage wisdom here. No, listen, I'm not blowing smoke. You know, obviously, there's that level of respect. And it's a big deal. Listen, the shows that have the most views are clearly when we have our leadership on. So last year I had Bishop Nathaniel on, and that show still to this day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we broadcast a replay of this on our YouTube page and things like that to try to reach the demographic that we need to reach. So today I wanted to speak about, I titled the show, Am I Now Become Your Enemy Because I Tell You the Truth?
Damn.
And I like to read for people so they know what they're coming into, what today's topic is going to be geared towards. And then, you know, for my co-host, so we can kind of get ourselves set. So I'm going to read an article. Before I read the article, I'm going to go ahead and read the show description, right? So we all get on the same page, right?
Yeah.
So it says, as a people, we're quick to point the finger when our enemies inflict any type of challenge or harm to us, right? Riots, protests, what have you. And when these same affronts and sinful behavior is done amongst ourselves, within ourselves and by each other to each other, we barely make light of it at all. We have externalized our issues as a people, and while the effects of what has been done to us is unprecedented, we don't seek to see what level of accountability we have in our own destruction. We are victims, yes, but we also, through the Most High in Christ, have the ability to take accountability. And I say no to duty, all right, for our actions, and a remedy has been provided through these most holy scriptures to find our way back to the glory we were meant for. The truth hurts. Don't be mad, because the first steps to getting it together comes from acknowledging what must be said, and it's a harsh reality for us, the Israelites, the so-called natives, Latin and blacks, and those scattered abroad of the seed of Israel. So,
We can be our worst enemies. You know, we as a people, and because we are disconnected from the laws of God, we will perpetuate violence against each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, when they do it to us, we're up in arms, but we are our biggest opponents. And it's because we lack God's wisdom.
And that's exactly what it is, because of that lack of identity. You know, I always say, give me Daniel 9:7, because that's one of my favorite scriptures, because it puts us in a frame of mind of, and there's many, of where our mindset is. Is that feedback because the mics are too close? Do we got to move those around? No? Okay.
The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day.
He's telling you, as at this day, confusion of faces. And a lot of times, you know, I always say we can look at things from a macro level, a broad level, and then, especially with the scriptures, it gets micro, right? So as a people, we have no identity. Just the title of the show, Native, Latin, Black. And we're really talking about all one people, according to the scriptures, right? And then from there, what? Subsets. I'm Puerto Rican. I'm Mexican. I'm Panamanian. And then we seek to identify with that. I'm African American. I'm Native American. And then even within the Native Americans, all the little subsets of the tribes that are in there, right? And then you bring that even closer down to our individual identities. I was talking about this on last week's show. You know you're a sick people when this thing has gone to a level where first it was identity, calling ourselves Blacks, Hispanics, whatever it is. Then it was confusion with sexuality amongst all people, right? Mm-hmm. And oh, well, I like guys, and I like girls, or I like both, or I like animals too, right? Hey, there are all these different terms. And then now, to have confusion in your gender? Confusion of faces is more than racial for our naysayers, those gainsayers out there that try to say those things.
I never looked at my perspective.
And you got people talking around. I saw an article the other day, men bleed too. I'm a free bleeder. Nasty picture. They got this thing called free bleeding.
Put that camera on me, please.
Right. You know? So, and they're talking about, but that confusion of faces.
I'm confused.
Breeds, you're confused, right? You look at that stuff, it's confusing. It breeds this hatred. It breeds this mentality of lashing out at each other because nobody has been able to provide answers until today, right? Now, these times that we're living in, as the levels of the waters have are rising and that understanding is there. Go ahead, read on.
To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel.
So this isn't just a black thing, a brown thing. I hate those terms that the media uses because the heritage is a speckled bird, like the scripture tells you. We come in all shades and colors, right? I know jokingly we had the brother and they said, hey, my light-skinned brothers are here. You know, it's the light-skinned crew. You know, and if you think about it, man, those are things that are harbored in us because even within ourselves, right? I won't even put Hispanics and so-called Hispanics in there. Even amongst so-called African-Americans, blacks, light skin against dark. Oh, you're the light one, you feel a different way. And you're the dark one, you feel a different way. And it starts to breed this separation. I've gone over this ad nauseum on the show, that's part of the agenda, all right, of this society, of the enemy, to wedge that division between us and cast them bands asunder, like the scripture speaks about, right? And it creates this division where we can't unify. Last time we were here, I mean, we're in L.A., so we got to talk about these things, right? The division that you have here amongst the same people. Though, because the media, the mouth of the dragon has perpetuated this false identity, this confusion of faces amongst our people, we don't look at each other as the same people. But if we can galvanize behind the same afflictions, then you start to lose those. You can say, okay, it doesn't matter that you look like this and you're like that. All right? Right. Understanding historically what's come from that, this brings us to today where we say we got to unify. Finish this verse.
And unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, they have trespassed against thee.
And you have to understand that. And, you know, if you read up, it talks about it because we didn't hearken, because we didn't. The trespass is sin. The trespass is living in sinful behavior, living in ignorance, and letting the world dictate what's right and wrong, what defines righteousness and what doesn't. And what you really need to do is turn to these scriptures and put you in that frame of mind to say, hey, listen, at what point do we stop this? At what point do we say, hey, all this stuff has not worked, and we continue on in this? I was on the way over here, Bishop, and I'm talking to the captain in the office, and I said, you know, I said, LA got a big job ahead of them. You know, I mean, we're talking about strategically last night and the mindset. I remember last time you said you were here, and I goes to give a flyer to a brother. He pulls out his Glock and says, I'm about this. I don't need that flyer. And to be able to look at somebody that looks like you, you've never seen him before, and because he's wearing a different color than your set, you take that man's life. That's a level of sickness that we've yet to, I think, as teachers, really address consistently and in mass. And I think that's in Chicago's another market where it's going to be unique in that way.
I really like the topic you're talking about. The solution to our problems, we understand, is simple. It's the commandments of God. This curse is upon us because of our disobedience. So breaking down the color barrier, and I think the point you were making, that the one identifying sign with us is the curse that has hit us.
That's correct.
We live in the same neighborhood. We're in inferior health care, inferior schooling. That should be at least an identifying sign that is happening to specific people. I want to read some. I want to say the same chapter that you were reading, if you don't mind. What verse did you end up at?
I went straight to 7, so I ended at 7.
Jump on down to verse 11.
Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law.
That's the so-called, I'm going to use the word, so-called Mexicans, so-called Puerto Ricans, so-called Negroes. We have transgressed God's laws. We don't.
Even by departing, that they may not obey thy voice.
And what if we departed from the laws of God? When we lost that disconnect from God's laws, it disconnected us from our heritage. It disconnected us as a people. It disconnected us as tribes. We moved away from God's laws and everything fell apart. So what's the difference between a so-called, what you call a Negro, so-called Hispanic, so-called Frenchman? We all were enslaved by the same, there's no difference. It's just languages and shades of colors. So I think what happens when we read, let me finish my point. Let me read this verse.
Therefore, the curse is poured upon us.
Here's one of the curses. Confused faces. That's one of the curses. We don't know who we are. We forgot. That's why it says, you bethink yourselves in the land where you were carried captive. First Kings 8. If you remember, why? Because we forgot who we are. Read on.
And the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him.
Because we sinned against the Most High. So our job as the prophets that sent back on the earth, and I know many people out there here in a, it say this in classes, that we are the prophets. Some people chuckle at it. But the churches have no solution. They've never had a solution. Politics, come on. They don't have solutions. What is today? The church of Beyonce? Are you serious? There's no. We are the solution. The solution is the Bible, and we're going to explain it in the Bible, how to fix our community. So, like you're saying, here in L.A., it's a big undertaking. But thank you, Most High, that he's allowing us the opportunity to set up here in L.A. We're driving here. We're literally sitting in the middle of Northern Kingdom gangs, Issachar, what you call Mexicans in the world, and Jake, Judah, gangs. And we're in the middle of it right now. And what we're going to do is going to be that beacon of light where you see Judah and Ephraim, Mexicans and blacks, so you can understand, that we stand together, unified under the laws of God, and rewrite this history.
All praises. And, you know, I was telling you beforehand, like, you know, it's conversational. We kind of play off each other as we do the show. And as I'm writing this description this morning and the article that inspired me to pick this topic today, I'm thinking the same exact thing that you're talking about. I'm thinking about rethink yourself and get ourselves back to that. I mean, we really have to – you have to find a common ground, right? But the common ground has to be rooted in this.
Yeah,
it can't be rooted in anything else. It can't say, oh, let's galvanize behind and our people are good at galvanizing behind causes, but not the cause that the Lord wants us to galvanize behind. They'll galvanize behind LGBTQ elemental P.
Yeah.
They'll galvanize behind transgenderism. And I mean, and you see that when I get to the article, some of the backlash. I mean, I don't think what the preacher was saying was on point. I said, damn, this Baptist preacher must watch us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, he's talking about coming into the Christian ideology, which just breeds more division. You talk about politics. You talk about – it's more categorization. It's denominations when you think of religion today. Right. Yeah. And even in politics, right? It used to be two parties. Now there's a million. And even within the parties, I'm all right. I'm partial left. I'm moderate progressive. I'm progressive conservative. And it's because it's confusion. And it's designed to keep you away from this true knowledge, which is this here. All right. Call in numbers 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797 if you'd like to call in, questions or comments, and also on Facebook at The Lost 144K if you want to type in questions or comments. All right, we'll address those as well. You look like you're itching to say something.
Yeah. The strategy that has always been used, even in biblical times and today, has always been a strategy of division. Pushing things contrary to the Bible, because it's always a lot easier for our people to enjoy the lust of this world, the things that feel good. Okay, nobody likes to be told what to do. Let's just face it. Even as a child, right? You see, I see it with my kids. Don't do that, and he'll struggle. I'll try to pick him up because he's gonna go into danger, and he'll try to fight me. It's like a natural instinct. So these commandments are something that has to be taught, learned, and done, basically, to put it simple. Yes, the majority of it is us, but you have to understand, we cannot stray away. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because you brought up religion, politics. Those are all strategies to bring division amongst us. Because you like the flavor of what a Republican says, this one likes the flavor of what a Democrat says, this one likes the flavor of what a Baptist says, this one likes the flavor of what a Protestant says, a Jehovah's Witness. You go to where you feel, oh, okay, I'm good with this, I'm good with that. And you end up going ahead and jumping to all these different philosophies and doctrines, and that keeps you away from the main focus of who is the Israelites in the Bible.
Well, that's the flood. You know, the flood is there because what does a flood do? It overwhelms you. It prevents you from focusing.
You.
It suffocates you. You panic. Think about it. If floodwaters were to rush in this room right now, as much as I feel like, you know, Bishop Kanai is, you know, very stoic. We would all hit on you. We would all freak the hell out, right? And we'd be wailing and thrashing and whatever. I mean, you know, I often speak about the Most High. I mean, it's very deliberate, the words that are used in these scriptures, you know? I mean, it's very deliberate. It's not like, I mean, out of all the words that could have been used, he chose very specific words to describe the things that needed to be described. And when you think about flood, I mean, it's so appropriate. There's He could have used the word overwhelmed. You will be overwhelmed.
The thing is that he knows what he created. Okay, most of us are visual.
Yeah.
You have to paint what they call a illustrative picture.
Absolutely. And I don't know mean to cut you off, but in you saying that, that's where you know when the Spirit is working with you, when you're able to take these words and paint the picture for the minds of all people, because they read this book and they'll see it, but they don't fully understand the words and what it's saying. Like, you give an example, why did the Lord use flood? It wasn't by happenstance that he just chose that word. There's a message that's in that word. So illustrating a flood, like you said, how would you react? I never, in my mind, thought about it like that. And I'm saying, when flood is hitting you, you're getting hit by waves, and floods are coming at you. You really can't get your foot, even if you try to get yourself to, because it comes with it. What is Esau's floods today? Religions, politics, sports, TV, movies. Mm-hmm. Most of what people don't realize is that they are playing way over the heads of us. Old people live, their science of psychology is to change the way people think on a subliminal level that you don't even realize that you're even now conforming to their ways. They don't need you to know the devil, that you're just worshiping the devil. They need you to worship him.
Right. So there's no requirement that you need to acknowledge that, hey, I worship the devil. Yeah. If he's worshiped nonetheless.
Yeah. Here's a simple one. Old people will rally around Christmas, what they call Christmas, December 25th. And there'll be scriptures, there's a scripture in the Bible that condemns it. But how is it that the flood hits them? You know why? Because a gift destroys the heart. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get somebody, give them a gift. Yeah, all these pagan holidays generally is based behind gifts. Valentine's Day, here's a gift. That's a flood right there. Halloween, a gift. Here you go. Mother's Day, a gift. Birthday, a gift.
Even Thanksgiving. What's the gift? Yeah. Everybody brings a plate.
Yeah, everybody gets a plate.
Oh, our auntie's going to make her famous dish. You know, uncle's going
to
make
and
that
and
meat.
Back to what you said, the seduction is because you do it because it feels good. That's why you do it. So you get a gift, you give a gift. All these things are the floods that's out to destroy the minds of all people.
Let me show you how powerful those floods are. Give me Matthew 24:24, and then I'll throw it back to you. All right? Because you have to really embrace what Christ was saying here.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets.
Right, so they're thinking false Christ, and they got you believing that somebody's going to come, and he's literally going to say, hey, I'm Christ. And worship, there are some.
Yeah,
we know that. There are some that say that. But going with that whole theme of the flood and all this different thing that's overwhelming that you can't get your footing, they put themselves in positions as false Christ and false prophets in these positions of authorities. I have the solution. I have the answer, right? You even have some of our people that were following after Trump. So I won't even get into the whole racial divide, but you have some of our people that are following after Trump. They see these people. They saw Obama as a Messiah. So false Christ is very broad. It doesn't necessarily always mean someone's going to come and say, here you go, I'm Christ. On what you said. They don't got to know that they're worshiping Satan. You don't have to say, hey, yeah, to worship him. You do it anyway. He says there will be false Christs and false prophets. Go ahead.
And shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
And that's the part that I want to get on, because you have to understand how powerful this Kool-Aid is. That America, starting with America, but that the world is slinging. Because it's a flood of great Kool-Aid, all right? And it's coming in, right? Because we like that. That's what we're running into. That it says that if it were possible, it's so strong, it's so intoxicating, this good feeling that this sin, that the religion enables, come as you are, be what you want, do what your heart desires. It's so intoxicating. He's letting you know that you're going to be under spell. It's witchcraft.
Absolutely.
It's witchcraft.
I think it's better said. And it is witchcraft. It is the bewitching of people's minds. That's what witchcraft really is. It's the controlling of people's thoughts and moving them in the direction you want. That's what witchcraft is. Do you mind if I read something?
Of course, Bishop.
Did you have a thought?
No, go ahead. I'm going to
Ephesians. There's more stuff in my mind to say. I like the point that you use the word witchcraft, because it certainly is a bewitching. Real quick, I just want to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11.
The book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
So putting the whole armor of God is putting on the commandments, all the commandments. And the point of putting on all the commandments is that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles means the tricks of the devil. So guess what? The average person today, I'm just an average guy today, I want to believe black and Hispanic, he's not a murderer. Average guy is not a thief. You know, media puts us that every one of us is degenerate bums that, you know, pimps and drug users. But they got a job. He's not a thief. And he may not even be an whoremonger. He may have a wife or whatever. So, you know, he's like, I'm keeping these commandments. But he's a staunch Republican. He got caught. Okay, I'm not a Republican. Was listening to filthy rap music. He got caught. Oh, I'm not a rap music. Satan's tricks is that he puts a lot of things in place that if you don't get caught here, he'll catch you here. Right. Now watch this. Read on.
Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
So the battle's not against man, flesh and blood. Read on.
But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world.
It says, but against principalities. For every king, you have princes, and princes are put over lands where they are the principal or the landlords that govern that. Saints' principalities are what? Rap music, politics, church, drugs. I'm just naming a few of them. So these are his principalities. That's why I said they play way over the head of most people.
Right.
So how do we identify these things? You must be keeping the commandments because the commandments will illuminate your path and show you stay away from here. Watch this. Read that verse again.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world.
That's all we say to say that this world is an evil. This total world is totally out of course with God. I mean, even if you're in a Christian church, and you should at least understand that the world is worse off now than it has ever been. Morality is gone today. You know, you have homosexuals are openly prancing around homosexuality, and the world acts like today. If you're not even agreeing with it, something's wrong with you. If you're based on God's commandments, it's wrong. They look at you like you're crazy.
It's not tolerance that they seek. That's the guise that they go under. Oh, well, you should tolerate it. They want acceptance.
Right.
They want you to embrace it.
Well, we're not going to accept that.
No, we're not going to accept that.
No.
The Lord does it, so we ain't.
Yeah. Watch this.
Against spiritual wickedness in high places.
That's the point I wanted. Spiritual wickedness in high places. So the powers that be, being Esau and these other nations that's ruling over us, they set up an agenda to keep us destroyed. Back to what you said concerning us being to the micro of you're Puerto Rican, he's Dominican. You're Mexican, he's black. To the point, You're a Celtics fan. He's a Lakers fan.
Yeah, whatever they can put in there to create division. Whatever it might be.
So people, what we have to do, we have to come back to our commonwealth, which is the commandments. Mm. So that's our commonwealth. We have in common is the laws of God. Once we come back to that, then we'll be unstoppable.
Hey, I mean, Christ tells you that a house divided cannot stand.
Amen.
So I mean, you got to put yourself in a frame of, in a foundation where you can be together. I want to bring something out before I move on to that. Though, get Wisdom of Solomon 4:12, because you said the word bewitching. I said witchcraft. You said bewitching, and I love this scripture because you were speaking about how things feel good, Captain Aparium, right? And Wisdom of Solomon, he tells you this, and this is a heavy. I mean, this is a heavy verse right here. I mean, the whole Bible is just weighty. But go ahead, Wisdom 4:12.
The Book of Wisdom of Solomon. Verse 12. For the bewitching of naughtiness.
The bewitching of sin, it's witchcraft, it's enticing, okay? That in Matthew 24, he says, in so much that it would deceive the very elect, if it were possible. So he's telling you that it's not possible for the elect to be deceived, but that others who are not as stable, who are not on that firm ground, all right? Maybe they're sown among thorns, maybe they're sown among loose ground, whatever it might be. He says, you have to understand that this is a bewitching. It's a bewitching of notice. It says it obscures the things that are honest, these scriptures, these laws.
Wow.
That's how you can have somebody and you tell them in the street, hey, don't go ahead and cheat on your wife. You need to have a solid foundation. That's fornication, brother. That's whoremongering. You're running around and you're defiling these sisters as you like. And I use that one because most of us as men in the world, that was a common thing for us, right? We had no regard. We never understood that marriage symbolized a relationship between Christ and Israel. So we treated it with no regard.
Yes.
So it says, you can go up to somebody and tell them, listen, it's not just to rape. It's not just to steal. We need to galvanize. We're one people. And it says, but the bewitching of nuggets, because most people love the identity piece.
Yes.
But when you bring the commandments, they drop everything that they just heard. And it was snatched away. And Mark 4 tells you, it says, Satan came and snatched it away. It obscures the things that are honest because they're saying, well, I can't do. I've had people just tell me, well, I can't do that. Friday night is this. And Saturday is this. It says it obscures the things that are honest. Read.
And the wandering of concupiscence does undermine the simple mind.
The simple mind. It undermines the simple mind. All right? It's so intoxicating. It's so bewitching that that simple mind will be led astray. This is why when you read in Ephesians, he said, hey, I got to liken this thing to armor. You have to understand what you're dealing with here. This spiritual warfare, I know a lot of us talk about spiritual warfare, and those of us who teach, we say spiritual warfare is going out and teaching and preaching on the street corners, yes. But understand, warfare has many levels to it as well. Talk about micro, macro, I'm all levels, all right? And Esau is not coming direct anymore. They're coming with that consensus mentality. Psychologically, they do this thing. The view of many, there's a thing called that, so you'll get an ad. And it'll say, 9 out of 10 people choose this. 9 out of 10 dentists choose this. And subconsciously, you just fell for the okey-dokey and said, well, 9 out of 10 people go with that. Mm-hmm. So let me run with that. So that goes back to the whole Sodom agenda, the whole confusion of faces and division. And they'll say, well, most people are okay with that. Now, it's 2018, and you're still calling people faggots? You're still saying homosexual is a bad thing? It's 2018. Like, how dare you be the one that stands alone and says that this isn't right?
A gentleman by the name of Harry Bernays. He was the father of what you would call today propaganda. He was a nephew of Sigmund Freud, or somehow related to Sigmund Freud. And you know, Sigmund Freud, his whole agenda was he was a witch, was to move the suggestive mind, to implant suggestions in people's thought process to move in certain directions. Sorry. So from that. Eric Bernays, the thing was, how do we move the masses in a certain direction? And he came up with a couple of theories of how he went about doing it. One of them was, you know, it wasn't common many years ago, women to smoke cigarettes or drink at bars. They didn't, if they smoked, they smoked cigarettes at home. This is many years before many of them. He said, how do we, tobacco company said, we want more sales. How do we do it? So, and then the other one was the meat, was bacon. I'm going to explain it more. Well, let's do bacon first. Bacon, what we know today is a breakfast dish. It really wasn't initially. It was a dinner dish. He said, how do we make more sales that people eat it for breakfast? What did he do? He employed doctors from all over the country to start saying a well-balanced breakfast is what? Eggs, bacon, toast, juice, and a cup of coffee. That was the American breakfast. And they began to put this up in their offices. After a while, everybody just assimilated this as being the way to go. And that was done by the meat industry. So to point back to the suggestion of us being bewitched, bewitching is you see something that's right, but because you're bewitched by whatever stimulates your mind, it obscures it. You can't see it clearly no more. So you're no longer looking with these eyes. This eye right here is now being changed. You know, we grew up in New York City. There's no way you could have been a gay rapper when I was a child. You would never have had a rap career. What has happened in the last 40 years to change the minds of a people? They were bewitched. When did it begin? It started long before many of you young ones were born. It started with Flip Wilson, dressed like a woman.
Yep.
If they can get you to laugh at something that's sinful, your spirit is receiving it as
yeah.
It's okay.
Yep, that's the shock value.
So then you had Tootsie. Then you had
right. I remember
Tootsie. Slowly it began to infect. So they get you. Then you had Madea.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Now you have young Jock rapping with a young with a wedding dress on. That's the bewitching of the minds of a people. Here's the cure. As it is written.
Right.
Come back to the Lord. The church is not teaching that. I'm going
right.
to keep on going back.
Right.
The Christian church has failed. They have
right.
failed. They have failed.
And, yeah, I'm sorry. And unfortunately, they've used the book that was written for the Blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, or other Israelites, our playbook, to live a successful life in their attack on us. What do I mean by that? They read the same Bible that we read. They've perverted this Bible so much where we'll be out there teaching our people from the very same Bible that their pastor's teaching, right? But we're actually going in depth with scriptures versus where their pastor doesn't even read the scriptures like we read it, and they'll believe their pastor over us. We will read it. We will even show them. Read it for yourself. They'll have their Bible and read it for themselves and say that's not what that means.
Well, listen, let me read the definition of bewitch. It says, cast a spell on and gain control over someone by magic, enchant and delight someone.
Right.
They are under a spell.
They're
they
under
are under
spell.
The spell, the intoxication of
that's,
what America is slinging.
That's Judith 5 and 20, when her lockmate was like, who are these people in the hill country? And
right.
Said, if there's sin amongst them, then we can overcome them. Because the nations understand this. Hebrews 11, verse 25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esau and the nation understand that our people in general have pleasure in sin. So they accomplish a diligent search. They seek out iniquity. The official said, they're playing way over our people's heads and our people don't even know it.
Yep, that's exactly it. It's at a level that they can just not perceive. And again, it goes to show you the power of that spell. And this is why, you know, momentarily, it still to this day sometimes shocks me. When something comes out that just seems so plain, you've given the sense, and then they still can't receive it. But then I remember everything that the scripture says, how the Lord is the one that poured the spirit of deep sleep. So it's only going to be him that's going to be able to really take that spell off. But he won't do it unless you do. Psalms 111 and 10.
There it is.
Right? Fear the Lord is the beginning of that understanding, right? That knowledge. And then the keeping of the commandments, a good understanding of all they that do them. And that's how you battle this thing. It all goes back to that. I wanted to give the caller number again, and then I wanted to jump into this article real quick because, this pastor said a lot of things, and he's receiving a lot of flack over it, and not because they were wondering why he did it at Aretha Franklin's eulogy. I mean, just from a PR standpoint, why not? That's Jasper Williams. So why not? He had the platform. He wants to get a message, right? So, so you know, it's okay. But the call-in number is 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797. So let me read the headline here. It says, old school eulogy at Aretha Franklin funeral ignites wrath. And it says, a fiery. Any man that speaks with authority all of a sudden with fire. You see the words that they use? You're fiery. You're angry. Why are you so upset? He's talking like a man. He's talking with passion and conviction of somebody that sees something and he's frustrated that nothing's not being done. All right. It says a fiery old school eulogist. Now he's old school. So you see what they're doing here? You see the wording?
Semantics.
Right?
The wording.
Old school. He's a fiery old school. Immediately, that puts you in the mind to invalidate anything that he said, that they're about to say that he said. Right? It's old thinking. That was then, not now. Old school eulogists at the funeral of Aretha Franklin fell flat for many in the crowd. And that's not true because many were cheering him and clapping him as he was speaking. If you watch the video, there was many that were standing up at what he was saying and clapping. He says, and prompted a social media uproar when he declared Black America has lost its soul. Black women are incapable of raising sons alone, and the Black Lives Matter movement is unfounded in the face of black-on-black crime.
Stop. He said this?
He said this. Bishop, I'm telling you, this thing was flames when I saw this, man.
Go back and read this again. I like this guy.
He prompted a social media uproar when he declared Black America has lost its soul. Black women are incapable of raising sons alone, and the Black Lives Matter movement is unfounded in the face of black-on-black crime. And that was just 26 minutes into the nearly 50 minutes of words provided by the Reverend Jasper Williams, Jr. of Salem Baptist Church in Atlanta as Franklin's marathon funeral wound down Friday. It says Williams, who also eulogized Franklin's father, minister and civil rights activist C.O. Franklin 34 years ago, was exoriated on Twitter and elsewhere for misogyny, bigotry, and the perpetuation of false science on race. These are the things that they were saying about this brother for speaking the truth. Also blamed integration and the civil rights movement for ripping the heart out of black microeconomies that once relied on black-owned small businesses such as grocery stores, hotels, and banks.
He's right. I mean,
he's right. And everybody said the truth. Am I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And he says, as he wended his way through the need for more African Americans to return to church, we got to return to this. We kind of established that, right, in the beginning of the show, and more men to return to their families, the heat turned up online, with younger people declaring rhetoric such as that of Williams is why they left their churches to begin with. The bewitching of naughtiness.
Could I tell you something? I got to go back and read that. That's fantastic.
I'm going to send it to you, yeah.
I don't know if it's too difficult. Who was the writer of that article? Here's the thing behind it.
It just says the Associated Press.
Read the last bit of what you just read, the last part of it.
Where he says he also blamed integration.
No, with the person commentary. That's why they left.
Oh, it says here, as he wended his way through the need for more African Americans to return to church and more men to return to their families, the heat turned up online, with younger people declaring rhetoric such as that of Williams is why they left their churches to begin with.
Okay, I'm going to tell you how they did that right there. They said, here, this is the reason why younger people have... Okay, who told you that? Which younger person said they left the church? Which younger people were you speaking to that said they left the church because of rhetoric like that? That's the subliminal of putting that out there that is unacceptable. That's, let me tell you something about newscasters or people speaking.
The media.
They no longer deal with the fact of the matter. They give their commentary of what they feel. I mean, there was a time when news reporters only stated the fact of the news. They never get their opinion. Talk TV like CNN, that was never the news we grew up on. There was a shooting, he got shot 5 times. The president went to China.
That's reporting.
That's reporting. Now, that's journalism. Now, it's you put your own spin of your feelings in. So that last stuff right there, and most people won't catch it because they don't pay attention. That's them trying to mold and bewitch you to think a certain way, other than just give you facts. He said those things and leave it at that.
That's what. That's the talking heads.
Yeah.
Hey, I said this. I think
this, so. He's a person of importance. He's on TV. It's
right,
bewitching. That's
right.
All bewitching.
It's
he's with
all,
a suit, with a tie. He's handsome. He's this, whatever.
Right.
You know.
I have mentioned this lately. I said there's bias in journalism where there should not have been.
Yeah.
And it's to the point where this is how you can look and people classify it. You like Trump? Watch Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be that way. It should be reporting. And it's actually to the point where if your mind don't even have, your eye don't even have to be that sharp anymore, it's clearly identifiable, as you pointed out here, that there's an agenda in what's put out. Because, you know, they'll tell you it's because they're seeking ratings. And yes, it's a business and they're seeking ratings. But this goes to the over-the-head play that's happening. And people can't see that. So he says, at one point, Williams asked, "Where is your soul, black man? As I look in your house, there are no fathers in the home no more."
That's true.
As for black women, he preached that as proud, beautiful, and fine as our black women are, one thing a black woman cannot do, a black woman cannot raise a black boy to be a man. They said he's a misogynist for that.
I disagree. That doesn't make him misogynist. You need a man figure. Now, mind you, we do understand there's women out there, husbands dying. I think the point he's trying to say is that there's so many single parent households, people are having sex and making children without having the family unity.
It's
a little different than a woman that has a husband who passed away and then she's raising them. That's not what he's talking about. I'm smart to read that.
But you understand what, and that's not, see, what you're saying makes perfect sense.
Right.
What they're saying, Ms. Misogyny, is even above what you said about the single and all this other stuff. And they're saying, I can do anything you can do.
Right.
Well, ain't that what Eve thought she could do? And that's the reason
why. And that's what they're really in an uproar at. How dare you say that me as a woman cannot do what you do as a man? And like you said, that's the same mentality. Hey, the Most High made things in pairs. He made he and she. He made one to have a certain image and authority and another to have another role.
Right.
And then together, you create the union. You create that unity of marriage and that guidance All right? So he says, go ahead. You were going to say something else?
No, yeah. That's why the serpent told her in the garden, ye shall not surely die, for he knows that ye shall be like God.
Right. So, he enticed that spirit. So, that's exactly
so,
right.
So to the woman today, because they are the daughters of Eve, have that same spirit. Like, what the hell do you mean that you tell me that I can't raise my child to be a man? Because you're God.
That's my point. That how to manipulate blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans is in this Bible, because they know where the true Israelites. They know where God's chosen. They've examined this book, and they know, again, goes back to Judah 5, right? The Ammonite knew our history because they studied us, and he knew that if we were contrary to what's in the doom, contrary to what was in this Bible, they could manipulate us. And it's the same warfare today. It's not physical battle, but it's through psychological. It's psychological warfare. This is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians, okay, we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, right? Spiritual comes from within. It comes from the psychology. What you believe, as a man, scripture says it, right? As a man thinketh, so is he. If you have enough people telling you, you're no good, you're no good, you're going to believe you're no good. And that's what we're told in the media subliminally. Because every time they show Chicago killing each other, subliminally, we're no good.
Right.
And they know that. And that's part of the bewitching.
I see. That's clear. That makes sense.
So he goes on to say, Williams described as abortion after birth the idea of children being raised without a provider father and a mother as the nurturer.
Go back.
Hey, that's strong. That's strong. So he says he described... I don't like the way they worded this. He described the situation of being raised without a provider father and a mother as a nurturer. He says that's abortion after birth.
Is this a video for this?
He has a little bit. There's excerpts. There's excerpts on the video. You see him talking about it. I mean, some of the stuff they don't let him. They won't air his full clip, right? Hey, the SPLC might listen. He says that this is about. I mean. We got to have some commentary on that. You know, Bishop did a class some years ago when I went with him to Dallas for their first school grand opening, and they had their radio show. And he says, society in the world has allowed us to mature physically as men, but spiritually and emotionally, we're still little boys.
Yes.
And that's what happens in these situations. This is why he's calling it abortion after birth. Mm-hmm. You've not raised a man. You have not raised a productive man that's going to be for his people, that's going to have the mindset. This is how you have these situations. Listen, I'm not saying all, right? People get mad, you make blanket statements. I guarantee the vast majority of these brothers that are in these gangs grew up in situations just like this man is describing here. And this is what drives people to these type of things.
Yeah.
I see you have something?
No, that's Fisher talk.
No, that's it. I'm ready for you. I was going to read some more of the article.
No, read it.
Okay, all right. He negated. I get excited. Bro.
I love the way he states it, abortion after birth. These kids are, they're killed because they don't have that structure. And you're right, the family structure has been broken down. Let's go real quick. Let's go to Jeremiah. the book of Jeremiah 17. We always read this. Jeremiah 17:4.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 17 and verse 4. And thou, even thyself, shall discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever.
God said to us, that thou, even thyself, shall discontinue from thine heritage. It says, because of our sins, we were going to what is our heritage? Real quick, let's go to the book of Sirach 17.
The book of Sirach, chapter 17, verse 11. Gave them knowledge and the law of life for inheritance.
The law of life is the heritage that we were disconnected from. So back to the, I'm a parallel with what you're talking about, abortion after birth, is that we understood that marriage is honorable. Marriage is an honorable thing. To have a wife, for a wife to have a husband, for children to have fathers at home and mothers at home. So what happens is that we are our generation, our people, are dealing promiscuously, having sex. And a lot of families allow their children, young teenage children, to have sex. And when I say allow it, I mean you allow it because you let your daughters go outside dressed like out of order with pants, tight pants on, breasts hanging out. And then when they get pregnant, there's not a father there because that young man is still a child himself mentally. He's not prepared. And what happens? It becomes a vicious cycle. And a lot of these young brothers that are in these gangs is because they don't have a father figure there. There's no man in their life. Hey, let me tell you something. You know me. I am a staunch, I staunchly oppose Christianity, the religion. It is garbage.
That's
it's
right.
Always been garbage. It's garbage. The true Christians, you're looking at them right now. We're the Christians.
Right.
That follow Christ. But here's the point. But there was even a time in Christianity when the black family was together. I'm saying in King's time, and even with their messed-up ways, the black man was home with his wife and took it in Christianity. What has happened? What has happened that once you remove us, the so-called Israelite man, or the Israelite man, so-called Hispanic, so-called Native American Indian man, so-called black man, out of the household, it begins to dysfunction. When we read in Isaiah, what were they doing? They were killing the men and leaving the boys, little children, and the women. And what happened? Those little boys and girls grew up to be monsters. Why? That there was no man in the household to keep the balance. So us not knowing our heritage, not knowing the laws of God, is the direct result of that is what you see today. So, you know, happens, and what he said is right. But here's the thing. With this, what's the Jasper what?
Jasper Williams.
He doesn't have any solution.
No.
No solution.
No, his solution was come back.
To the church.
To the denomination of the Baptist church.
Oh, you've got to be joking. Come on, man.
Come back to the Christian
come
church.
Come back to white Jesus. Oh, you've
exactly
got to be
it.
Joking.
That's exactly it.
But even though what he's saying is right, here's the thing. We have the solution. We're telling you it's simple. Come back to the laws of God in your rightful place as the Israelites. You do that, everything gets fixed.
But everybody has heard the problems.
Right.
For generations.
Right.
For generations. We know what the problems are. Right. Finally, we're bringing out, is united in Christ, is what the solutions are. The Most High has had the solutions here for thousands of years, right? Because this was written thousands of years ago. It's just due to the bewitching, we were taken away from all of that stuff. Right?
Remember, it says, if they bethink themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent, then he will hear our prayers and our supplications. He said, but you've got to remember, what do you say in that land? Lord, we have sinned against thee.
Right, make supplication.
1 Kings 8,
that's
make
right.
supplication. Lord, we have sinned against thee. Once we start doing that, as a nation of people, remembering that we are the Israelites, God said he's going to ask. So that's just, you know, the solution is in the Bible.
It's so simple, too.
It's just a Christian
just so
man,
simple.
Like, just that they don't know it.
Right, and as much as I agree with everything that he's saying, you're right, he falls short. And he's still blind. He's not awake because the solutions aren't there. Give me Matthew 15:14. All right? The solutions are not there. And the scripture warns about this. Staying in this Bible will keep you safe from all the things that are beset upon us, all around us. That's that valley of the shadow of death that we live in from the womb to the Most High take us away in this present life. All right? And we don't think of it that way. This is why the scripture also had to remind us, this is not your rest.
Mm-hmm.
They will make you believe that it is. They will put you in a frame. Hey, listen, I tell you all the time, we're talking about driving over here. There's a lot of times, man, I got to keep it real. I'm grateful that I'm in America. In travels, you see what some of our other brothers and sisters go through, and I'm like, the Most High put me in the right space. I mean, he would have used me whatever he needed me to use. But I can't see myself the way some of our brothers and sisters in these other countries with the poverty that they have and the conditions that they live in. My mind with the way they're just kind of that nobody knows anything. I mean, you want to talk about we're blind here, that's another level of blindness. But read Matthew 15 and 14. I don't want to stray too far from what Jasper Williams, good.
The book of Saint Matthew, chapter 15 and verse 14. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind.
Listen, all those people that are going to actually go and return to his church, while he gave a powerful message, he has no answers. Just like you stated, Bishop, he has no answers. He said they are blind leaders, and anybody that follows after them. He's leading a blind congregation. Read.
And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.
There's no solution there. There's no solution. He's giving a little bit of illumination, but without the substance behind it. Again, hey, Psalms 111 and 10.
Right.
That's you have to take that and let that seed take root. And it takes root. You water it. You nurture it. You feed it. You fertilize it by keeping these laws.
I just want to read something. Zephaniah 1.
The book of Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 17. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord.
Because they what?
Because they have sinned against the Lord.
So here we go with the Christian. I'm sorry.
You got to do it, bishop.
Give the ground.
Hey, this is why, hey, remember, the title of the class is, Am I Your Enemy Because I Tell You the Truth?
There you go.
We got to tell the truth.
Here we go.
We got to tell the truth.
Here we go. I'm sorry, back to the Christian church. I'm going to get on that.
Do it.
Okay, young man gets shot down the street in whatever city in America. What do we do as a people? And the Christian church is a big part of it. We'll begin to protest. We was in Ferguson when a brother got killed. What did they do? Christian men, grown Christian men, lay in the street in a chalk and just lay. That's a protest. You just lay like you know how to outline the chalk. Just lay in the street. We was in Sanford when Trayvon Martin got killed. What was everybody doing? Wearing hoodies and carrying Skittles. Yeah. You're blind. That doesn't fix nothing. But a lot of times what's happening is the Christian church is coming out there. Because they don't have solutions, they say,
We shall overcome.
Can you light this candle for me, please? We shall overcome. Right, here's the next one. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. Come on, everybody. No justice, no peace. Let's all have a prayer vision. It's never worked. It's never worked. We're telling you right here, you're blind because you've sinned against God. When you stop sinning, it's no longer obscured. You can see clearly. This is the plan of action. Gather yourself together. O nation, it's not desired. Gather together. How do we gather together? As one people. No longer divisions between us. Knowing that we're the Israelites. And then we start keeping God's commandments. And then we're going to make sure. That's what I say. What he's saying, the guy Jasper, some stuff he said, I'm 100% with it. Right up until he tells you to go back to church. That's returning back to the vomit.
Right. Let me do Deuteronomy 4 and 6. It's the power. This is the power. This is what's going to separate you. Right? Because if you think about it, he speaks about the integration, which is true. Integration destroyed us.
Yes,
integration
right.
destroyed us. I'm going to read a little more in the article. There's maybe it's not this one, it might be the other one. He actually talks about prior to that, we were supporting each other in businesses. We were finding a way
together.
To do it with each other. We were gathering together. I mean, we know that was destined to fail without the scripture.
No, I don't get it. But again, I'm going to cut you.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's what I say. At one time, Christianity, even though we're off, we still had the black family unity. We understood that. And they said, you know what? Powers that be said, no, we got to break them down. The Hispanic man cannot stay in the house. We're going to send him to jail. We're going to put him on drugs. We're going to put him on the front line in Korea and Vietnam. We're going to find trip holes in these principalities and stuff because we got to remove them out of the house. And once we do that, whenever you move the man out of the house, all nations, they flourish. And they thrive because they have the man as the focal point in the household. Chinese, Japanese, white, Africans, they always keep. We're the only people that we're baby daddies and baby mamas.
And okay with it.
Yeah, and then.
We make a joke out of it. You spoke about laughing at it and the acceptance.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my baby daddy.
That's my baby daddy.
That's my baby mama. And it becomes something that's acceptable. It's disgraceful. You know, I grew up in a time. Our father left when I was five. I don't know, what were you, like 10, 12, whatever it was. And we were embarrassed to say that we didn't have a father in the house. And this is, you're talking about the early 80s. So we're still talking about relatively recently.
Right.
It was still a shameful thing.
Yeah.
It was a shameful thing when the topic would come up and people with kids were talking about dads. And I have a dad.
Right.
To where it's so common and acceptable. And the mother, I'm the mother and the father. I'm everything. No, a woman is not built that way. The Most High did not create women that way. All right? Give me Deuteronomy 4 and 6.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 6. Keep therefore and do
it. And when you read verse 5, he talks about, listen, I gave you judgments. Let's read it. Let's just read it. We got to read
verse
it.
Verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments.
He didn't teach us denominations, religions, Baptist, Episcopalian, apostolic, Jehovah Witness, Catholicism, Eastern Orthodox, born again Christian, whatever it is. He didn't teach us these as denominations. Read.
Even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land where ye go to possess.
Read.
Keep therefore and do
these statutes and judgments. Go ahead.
For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations.
This is that armor that's spoken about in Ephesians. This is the thing that gives you that illumination. All right? This is your wisdom and your understanding. Why does he say in the sight of the nations? Because he knows these nations are nothing but pollution. It's a game that's being played over our head as a people. And the only thing that will shield you and wake you up from that is keeping and doing them. That's the wisdom and the understanding as we have to continue to deal with these nations. Read.
Which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
And that's not yet. That's going to happen when the Black Messiah returns and he's ruling on this earth. Then they're going to come and say, surely this is a great and wise nation and understanding people. But we still must do them. That's what the scriptures tell you. Rehearse the righteous acts, all right? In the land of drawing waters. That means it's not an excuse. We're not seeking their acknowledgement or acceptance. Integration is not the answer. We do this not for the validation that they might give us so they can stop calling us by proverbs and bywords, but so that we can come together and do what's been commanded of us so the promise that was promised to us through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob can be realized.
What was your thought, Parham? You were going to say something.
No.
Look, so what, let's go back to this article.
Yep, let me jump on this.
Well, where's Jasper out of again?
Atlanta. Atlanta. Hey, maybe these brothers can go and
like to reach out to them.
Talk to them, right? So he says, Williams described abortion after birth. Okay. He negated the Black Lives Matter movement altogether in light of black-on-black crime, falling back on a rhyming pattern of yore. It amazes me how it is when the police kills one of us, we're ready to protest. March, destroy innocent property, Williams began. We're ready to loot, steal whatever we want. But when we kill 100 of us, nobody says anything. Nobody does anything. Black on black crime, we're all doing time. We're locked up in our mind. There's got to be a better way. We must stop this today. You know, subtly he's acknowledged that he really doesn't have the answer. When he says something like there got to be a better way, he just knows we must stop. But it's like in the Book of Eli, the movie was on the other day. I love that movie. I always catch snippets of it when it's on. And he says, if it's my words, they're not going to hear it. But if it's from here, they will listen and they will obey. And now, all praises to the Most High Christ, in these last days, it's finally being taught that way. You brought out earlier how they used this book and they perverted it. So people succumb to it, but in the perversion that they've taught it. So it goes to show you that even in its perversion, there's power in this. People will listen to this. He says, we must stop this today. He says, do Black Lives matter? He said, no. Black lives do not matter. Black lives will not matter. Black lives ought not matter. Black lives should not matter. Black lives must not matter until black people start respecting black lives and stop killing ourselves.
And he just said the funeral.
He said this at the funeral.
I like this guy.
He said this.
Do you mind if I read something?
Go ahead, Bishop.
I'm going to read you the scriptures. Exodus 2. Let's start with verse 11.
The book of Exodus, chapter 2, and verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand.
So Moses saw his brothers being afflicted, being beaten by an Egyptian, and he was moved to defend him. So he ended up killing an Egyptian. Read it.
And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together.
So the next day he went out, he saw two of his brothers. Two people, you know, we're the same people. They were striving against each other. Read on.
And he said to him, that did the wrong. Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?
He said, listen, why are you hitting or fighting your brother? Why are you doing that for? He, in Moses' mind is like, what are the nations afflicting us? And if you're going to turn around and afflict your own brother, and why would you do that for? We don't.
And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us?
You know what they said to Moses? Nigga, who the hell are you to tell us what to do? We got to, and up to LA, these cops, are corrupt. Well, everybody is corrupt. They freaking kill you in the street. Well, they're not the problem. The problem is when somebody that looks like you and live in the same area that you live in, suffering from the same afflictions that you decide, I got to kill you because you got blue on. Or I got to kill you because you got red on. Or I got to kill you because you're Puerto Rican. Or I got to kill you. I don't even know why I got to kill you. I just got to kill you.
Yeah, no, they'll put out a thing. Hey, we're shooting people on site for 90 days. You know, we do 100 days of camp in righteousness.
Yeah.
They'll do 100 days of, hey, just kill somebody that's not down with you.
Yeah. So the mindset behind them is nothing different. We were like that from back then.
Right.
That's how you know we are the people of the prophets. We are the people of this Bible. So we don't.
Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedest the Egyptians?
He said, now you're trying to kill me now? So the mindset of a people. So, you know, black lives or our lives, and when I say black, I'm talking about Northern Kingdom too. Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, all lives do not matter. Because we don't value our lives.
Right.
And we don't value our lives, and I'm going to tell you why. Christianity, the white image of Christ, we see that all pure, but we can't see nothing good in each other. Christianity has destroyed us mentally. Politics, TV, those are the things that set up the positive stuff to destroy the minds of all people. We can't see a brother say, you know what, I see something great in him. You know, even in LA, I'm gonna give you a little tidbit if you don't mind of a little LA history. Prior to the gang life in Los Angeles, it was a Black Panther. It was a power movement where they ride together, and even the beginning of what you call the gangs, there's a gang that was called the Slawsons and these men, they were riding together to protect themselves away from the police and white gangs. That was beating us. It's a cartoon. I remember the Zoot Suit Wars.
Yeah. Right.
They were, it's a call, what we call Mexican. They would join together because these white Native men would come off dock here and come in and rape the women.
Rape them.
So they was protecting themselves. So what happened was, during that movement, Edgar J. Hoover, the devil he is. Now, you know, I'm getting irritated, man. Anyway. They said, you know, we're going to infiltrate. We're going to break it up. So what they did, they began to kill off all those Black Panthers, which Black Panther, don't get me wrong, they wasn't going to solve it either. But the point was, those are men that were about trying to make some type of change.
Misguided
Fred
as it
Hampton,
was, they wanted to do something.
Fred Hampton, they killed. That Stokely Carter, they got rid of these guys. And then what did they do? What birthed from that were the gangs. But the gangs were still about protecting their area. The Crips weren't fighting other Crips.
No.
I know someone was a Crip that told me, you know what, we fought, our natural enemies, the Bloods and the Northern Kingdom gangs. But then they begin to internal fight, Crips fighting Crips.
Yeah, he's just coming down the way over
there. Yeah, so what's the point of being a Crip? Because you got to worry about the Bloods, you got to worry about the Issachar, then you got to turn around and fight your own kind. But what perpetuated from that, when there was a vacuum because there's no leadership, nothing happening, Esau had a right idea. They put drugs in it. Now, you came from a generation that we know. Heroin was bad.
Mm-hmm.
It killed a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But when that crack...
Crack.
So what they did, they threw the crack element in there, and everybody began...
And they made it cheap.
They made it cheap. They flooded the streets with guns, and they gave crack. Let me tell you something. Esau is playing way over people's head. And today... The effects of it is these little children without fathers, without mothers, crack babies, whatever it might be, they're full-grown predators on the street. No direction.
Hey, we have a caller. All right, so let me take this call. Hey, Shalom, calling on the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show.
Yes, I have a question. I'm just learning about this truth. And my question is, how do you justify the Native Americans, the Seminole Indians, the Hispanics being on the 12 tribes chart when, or were they already here, or how did they come from Africa or Israel? Could that be explained to me? I'm just not following that.
Sure.
And I'm sorry, what's your name, sister?
Tracy.
Tracy, okay, Tracy. Thank you for the call. We're gonna address your question with some scriptures. All right. So stay.
Okay.
So stay.
Thanks.
All right. Okay, so go ahead and get Second Ezra. We're going to go straight to it.
No, before we go there, let's go back to the number 28.
Oh, you want to just hit that first? Okay,
yeah,
let's hit that.
Very good question, because I've heard that question come up many times.
No, and she said she's just learning, so yeah. I understand. Like, we can't presume that people know.
Right.
Okay, so her question was, she's just learning, and she wants to understand how can we say that, you know, Indians, Native Americans, you know, basically the northern tribes, how are they Israel? How are they on the chart?
Deuteronomy 28. Okay, so we're going to read Deuteronomy 28 chapter from verses 1 through 15 on the blessing if you like kept the commandments, from verses 16 through 68 on the curses if they disobeyed. Now, we disobeyed, so we're going to read some of the curses. Let's go right to verse 64.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, and verse 64. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone.
I want to jump up a little bit. Jump 63.
Verse 63. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good.
When the Lord rejoiced over us to do us good, we don't.
And to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you.
God says to rejoice to destroy us. Read on.
And to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whether thou goest to possess.
God said we will be plucked off the land whether we go to possess. Now read on.
And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other.
Here's the point. One of the curses is that the Israelites are going to be scattered from one end of the earth even to the other. Read on.
And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone.
And we were going to go into idolatry. So the Lord said, one of the curses, we're going to be scattered from one end of the earth even to the other. So keep that in mind. One end of the earth even to the other end of the earth, we were going to be scattered away. All right, so I want to go from that to the book of Hosea. It's very, you know, it's imperative, and I know it's not going along the lines of what we're talking about, but it's very imperative that we draw the correlation and help fuse the minds of our people, and it begins with understanding the biblical history. You must understand the history of the Old Testament to explain the New Testament and to join together how we're going to join the 12 tribes of Israel back together under one king, which is Christ. Hosea 1 and 10, I'm sorry.
The book of Hosea, chapter 1 and verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said to them, ye are the sons of the living God.
Okay, I'm going to read for myself just a second, because I want to make this quick. I'm going to read Hosea chapter 1, verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. So by the time we're talking about here, what we're talking about, that the kingdom of Israel, which would have been the northern kingdom, there was a split between us. Judah, Benjamin, and Levi was considered the kingdom of Judah. Ephraim and the rest were considered the kingdom of Israel. So the Lord said here, he will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Israel was going to be led away captive to Salmoneh. All right, the Syrians will come and take them away. Read on. I'm going to read. Verse 5. And it came to pass at that day, I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo-Haramah, for I will no longer have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. They were going to be taken away, utterly taken away from us, of the rest. But I'm going to jump on down now. Verse 9. Now you can read.
Then said God, call his name Loeni, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God.
So God told Hosea to tell them, talk about the northern kingdom, that he was going to take them away, and they were no longer to be called his people. Read on down.
Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea.
Yet we're going to be the sand of the sea. Read on.
Which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass. In that place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said to them, ye are the sons of the living God.
Now, I read all that to make you understand specifically, he was talking to the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. He said, but in the place where the northern kingdom would not call his people, he said, there you will be called the sons of the living God. Now watch this. Before we read 2nd Ezra, so let's go to New Testament. Let's go to the book of Colossians. And this is why you're asking this question. And many people have this question. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. Hear with me, everybody. 1, I want to read verse 25.
The book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 25. Therefore, I am made a minister according to the name of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God.
He said, Paul said, a dispensation of the gospel was given to him so he could fulfill the word of God. What word did Paul have to fulfill? To gather back the dispersed of Israel, which was the northern kingdom. Remember, Judah, Benjamin, Levi went back. We were there in the time of Christ. It was a northern kingdom, John 4, 1 Peter 1, James 1, Ephesians 2, Isaiah 11, Ezekiel 47. The scripture after scripture we can read showing that he was going to fulfill and bring them back. We don't.
Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations.
Even the mystery that had been hid. Even the mystery that had been hid from ages and from generations, read on.
But now it's made manifest in his saints.
But it's made manifest to who? It began with our Peter, Acts 10. Christ said in John 7:35, they asked, whither will he go? To disperse amongst the Gentiles, to teach the Gentiles? John 10. Christ said, I have sheep that's not of this fold. Them also must I bring in that might be one fold, one shepherd. I know I'm talking quick because I know we press for time, but I want to try to illustrate why we say what we say. Read on.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles.
He said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. What mystery? Remember, we read back in Hosea, they will no longer be called his people, and he will no longer be their God. Then the next verse says, but in the place where you were called, not called God's people, there shall you be known. It's always going to be brought back. They're going to come back. That was a mystery that was hid for ages. Read on.
Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Okay. To whom God will make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What's another word for Gentile? Heathen. Uncircumcised. Those were the synonyms that would say, not God's people. That's a Gentile. Okay. So let's go now to 2nd Ezra. What verse we go to? 13 and what?
Verse 40.
Okay, let's start with verse 40.
The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 13 and verse 40. Those are the 10 tribes which were carried away prisoners out of their own land in the time of Hosea the king.
Okay, that time they was taken into slavery was about 722. They was taken away by Salmaneser. It says, those were the 10 tribes which carried away prisoners out of their own land in the time of Hosea. Hosea was the king. It says, it says Salmaneser here. Hosea the king, whom Salmaneser, the king of Assyria, led away captive and carried them over the waters, so they came into another land. From one end of the earth, even to the other end of the earth, was the curse in Deuteronomy 28. Read on.
But they took this counsel among themselves, that they would leave the multitude of the heathen and go forth into a further country where never mankind dwelt.
So now we sped up from the Assyrians to the time of the Persian and Medes, when Cyrus the Persian gave us leave to come back into the land. That's where you get Nehemiah from. That's where you get Zerubbabel, right? Yeah, Zerubbabel. Mm-hmm. Zerubbabel, that's where you get Micah. They came back into the land. So during that time, Cyrus let them go. Some of them come to this side of the earth, this hemisphere. That's why you find places like Honduras and Belize and Mexico. You'll find pyramids.
Ohio,
you'll find it. Why? Because this is the prophecy. This is what Christopher Columbus used
right.
The writings of Ezra to know how to navigate to this side of the earth. So I'm going to leave it there because it's going to take away the vein. But sister, what you could do is you could visit us at www.israelunite.org. Find us on YouTube. There's a lot of classes that's taught about it. And hopefully, you know, because this is a class within itself. I hope it was able to answer your question.
Yeah, you know, if it be the Lord's will, it's been a while since we've jumped on some history. We could cover it on next week's show. All right. And we'll go into it in detail. So, sister, if, you know, if you want to tune in next week, we're on at the same time, 10:30 a.m. Arizona time. Normally we broadcast from Arizona. And we'll touch upon it. So maybe not the whole show. Maybe we'll spend like maybe 30 minutes or so, and we'll break it down a little bit. Aparian loves this topic. He has some good information on it. We both kind of do. Obviously, we have an affinity for explaining that piece of it. Sure. All right, so we got about 8 minutes left on the show here. I wanted to read the good question, sister. Like I said, tune in next week and we'll deal with it more. I want to go in on he said some more stuff, this guy. So I want to jump back to this. He said some more stuff. We do got to follow up maybe, man, and check this guy out.
I would love to.
I know we have that initiative where we want to
get on the search. I do want to say this. I'm sorry to take this much time.
No, don't. Come on, Bishop.
I would hope that gentleman Jasper, what is the last name?
Jasper Williams.
Mr. Williams would check us out. Check out and somebody share with him if you can, because what he's saying last stuff, he's spot on. He's right on.
He really is.
Yeah. What he's just missing is that key component to make it all real is the commandments are the key. And I want to believe Jasper, Mr. Jasper, that you know that. And if you don't know it, it's all right. We're here to help because we're all trying to get the same thing. We want the kingdom. But we got to move away from the mindset of Christianity religion. That does not work. Come on. Let's all be frank. The laws of God is not burdensome to us. It is our salvation. We want revolution. It begins with keeping God's commandments. That's how we're going to make the change. So, you know, simple. Let's just let's all get on the same page concerning that we are the children of Israel. We come in different shades. It ain't about a shade thing. It's about a law thing, a covenant that was made between God and his children.
Right. So let me read this here. So he talks about, he says, I'm just going to jump to some excerpts that he said because he hits home a lot on this stuff. He says, there was a time when we as a race had a thriving economy.
That's true.
I remember we had our own little grocery stores. We had our own little hotels. Mm-hmm. They weren't big and fancy, but they were ours. As bad as the days as Jim Crow and segregation were, it forced us to each other instead of forcing us on each other. We quickly come to realize that as a people, all we really have is one another.
Yeah, that is so.
But when we marched, when we protested, when we got through saying we shall overcome, yes, we were rewarded with integration. We got what we fought for. We got what we marched for. But with the birth of integration, there also came the loss of not only the black community's economy, but there also came the loss of the black man's soul.
That 99% of what he said, I'm right on. I think we lost the soul because we wasn't keeping the commandments. But all the rest of the stuff, he's spot on with it. He's absolutely right. Most High wants us to gather together to depend on one another. Come out of her, my people. We look for salvation in a nation that cannot save us, the scripture says. They're not the savior to save us. We keep on trying to integrate in with the biggest mistake. When they wanted you to have a different water fountain, that was the best thing that can ever happen to us. Eat different places. We were forced to become self-sufficient. Now we are in a whore-to-pimp relationship with the white man. We're in a slave mentality. Even so, we are dependent upon him for everything. We look for his validation. Hell with him, man. Please.
He says 70% of our households are led by our precious, proud, fine black women. But as proud, beautiful, and fine as our black women are.
Sorry, can we go along on the show? I don't know about precious and fine, because the black woman is a dragon today. She was not, for the most part, I'm speaking generally for the most part, they do not want to submit under. That's why you got 1 Corinthians 11. God has to give the order, the man over the woman, because the woman don't want to hear that. And a lot of you Christian pastors want to make it 50-50. It's not 50-50. We're not 50-50 with God. God is not 50-50 with Christ. We're not 50-50 with Christ. The woman's not 50-50 with man. And children not 50-50 with the parent.
Right.
But, you know, not the black woman today. Not the Ilana Barnes-Hunt and the Oprah.
Right.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If we can go long on the Facebook side, but the blog talk will cut.
Okay.
But that's fine. So it says, so he says 70% of the households, right? That's a vast majority, though, so that's a heavy statistic. He is saying precious, proud, fine black woman, right? But as proud, beautiful, And fine as our black women are, one thing a black woman cannot do, a black woman cannot raise a black boy to be a man. She can't do that. She can't do that. He spoke about the Black Lives Matter. And then he goes on to say, this is the part. He says, he talks about the importance of strengthening black households and the importance of home structure that we're talking about. He's not saying anything new. It's not revolutionary. What makes it revolutionary is that it's being said in a time where those things are not the norm, where those things are not accepted, and what's embraced is this joke of the baby mama, the baby daddy, and all this other stuff, right? He says, anytime we stray from God's design for what the home is supposed to be, heavy will be our results. Heavy will be our results, and it's evident today. He said, God has told us what to do with our home. He designed a home. I mean, God put it in a home, a man and a woman, a father and a mother. God put it in the home, a husband and a wife, a provider and a nurturer. And, you know, everybody else is just, I mean, yeah, all that's left here is the negative comments.
Bravo, Mr. Bravo. I think it was fantastic what you said.
They got a lot of negative Twitter comments after that. But,
you know, I like that he did it at the funeral. They've come in to cry now. I'm going to give you a dose of reality.
Yeah,
I like that. I like it. Yeah.
You know, I often talk about on the show, we talk about it. You know Richard Spencer?
No.
He's this alt-right Edomite activist. He does speaking engagements and stuff. And I say, I love Richard Spencer. I love Richard Spencer for his candor and what he says, because what he says is so offensive, obviously, to the likes of Charles Barkley and whatever.
Right.
But he has a little sit-down. Bishop has showed the video in one class, and he's talking about he's against integration, Richard Spencer. He says, we shouldn't be together. And they were like, oh, but, you know, long story short, Barkley and them, and they're saying, so that's the block. So that's all right. We'll go longer on the Facebook side. So the show will drop off on the Blog Talk side. Next week on that. It'll upload as a podcast if you want more information. We'll stay on the Facebook Live side. So he says, Richard Spencer says to him, hey, you know, we want this, we want homes, we want communities and that, you know, that's all right. He goes, Richard Spencer goes, that's good. You should have that. But you should have that with your people, and I want that just with my people.
Barkley says, we want what you want.
So yeah, he said, we want what you want. And he was like, yeah, but you can have those things, but on your own, just like we'll have them on our own. And I say what I love is that what he's saying is actually the reality of what it needs to be, what Pastor Williams here, right, Reverend Jasper Williams said, what we've constantly been preaching, gathering ourselves together, doing those type of things, implementing those types of processes as much as possible to put those things in play. And let's strive to be that self-sustaining. I mean, Amalek does it.
Mm-hmm. All nations do it.
All nations do it. Legitimate Hamites do it. I'm not talking about the scattered of our people amongst them.
We're the only nation. And I'm going to tell you the reason why is because without God's laws, we lack wisdom. We lack wisdom. Plain and simple.
You know how you know we do it? Because you see, in our communities, every nation owns a store in our community with us.
I mean,
there's a Chinatown, there's a little Italy.
Every nation,
right?
Every city.
And every city.
What do we have?